so much, ladies. Beautiful song with a wonderful message. I'd ask you to take your Bibles this morning, the book of John, and go to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in your New Testament. John chapter 10, if you would, John chapter 10. We have enjoyed 2021 looking at the theme, Complete in Christ. And every message has not been on that, but we've been looking at how Jesus Christ has come to complete us and make us whole. Every individual without Jesus is empty, is lacking. And that would be for even eternal life and salvation, which we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. But also, even as an individual, a saved individual, that has access to Jesus Christ and everything, utilizing Him for everything that He is to us. And I say even better than the word utilizing, acknowledging and letting Him work in our lives. And so Jesus has been everything to us. And we have looked at a number of different ways in which Jesus has been everything. We have looked at the fact that Jesus gave Himself. Remember Thomas? Thomas is saying, you know, Jesus is telling the disciples right before He's about ready to be crucified. He says, you know, I'm going to go to my Father. I'm going to build you a house, a mansion, a house, you know, for you to come. And you're going to come to Me and you know the way. And Thomas looks at Him and said, you know, Lord, we don't know where You're going and how could we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man cometh unto the Father but by Me. So there, Thomas, honestly, Thomas is looking for a map. He's looking for all the answers in his mind. And by the way, these are things that we as humans go through. We like maps. We like every answer, every question answered. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. He says, Thomas, I'm even the vehicle to get there. Thomas wanted all these things, and the answer for Thomas was Jesus. It's Me. It's Me, and the same thing is true with us, folks. It's Me. Not only did God give us Jesus, but He gave us His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, God gave us Jesus, but He gave us a treasure map in spite of ourselves. Thomas, I know you want a treasure map, and so here's a treasure map. And He gave us His Word that's good for the right way, the road map of going the right way, the doctrine, the reproof, showing us when we're off of that right way, the instruction, how to get back on the right way, and or correction, how to get back on the right way, instruction, righteousness, that we stay on the right way. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Aren't you thankful for His Word? More than that, though, God gave us the church, the pillar and the ground of truth, the thing that would be here to give us the truth so that we would last through the persecution of the devil and his instigating and his war on the Lord and on Jesus Christ. And we learned that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We're so grateful for the church that God has given to us to be the pillar and ground of truth. Most recently, we've been looking at then the Holy Spirit that God gives us to lead us and guide us into all truth. Folks, this is all how God has given Jesus to complete us. And so that we're not lacking in anything. And of course, we went through that. And then most recently, we started the little series that will take us through Christmas. And that is the I Am series that Jesus has given. I Am. Seven times in the book of John, Jesus presented Himself to the disciples specifically, but to all the people, but to us as I Am. You remember the origination of the name I Am? When God, Jehovah, is there to Moses, and Moses is being called to go and to deliver the people out of Egypt. You remember that story? The people of Egypt, God's people, were in bondage from the Egyptians, and God calls Moses to go and lead the people out, and He does that in a very unique way. And of course, the story that you learned probably as a child of the burning bush, the bush that was burning, but it wasn't being consumed, and Moses goes over to this unique thing, and of course, it was the presence of God, and God speaks to him, And how does God address Moses as he then talks to him and then calls him to go and to deliver his people? Moses is eventually going to ask him, who am I going to say to the people that sent me? Who am I going to say to them who sent me? And what was Jehovah's words? What was God's word? I am has sent you. I am. What does that name I am in the Old Testament, Jehovah, mean? What is Jehovah? That name I am is exactly what it says. I am. I am the self-existing one. In other words, he doesn't need anyone else to do this. He is the only one, exclusive. He needs no help. Anybody beyond him is counterfeit, is just someone getting in his place. He is everything. Jehovah is everything. We study the compound names of Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh is one that most people know. I am the God that provides. Remember in Genesis chapter 22, when Jehovah, as Jehovah Jireh, shows up to Abraham, when Abraham has been waiting so many years for his son Isaac, a promise of God, he gets Isaac, and then God calls him to go to Mount Moriah and to sacrifice, offer him up as a sacrifice. And God shows up with the ram, and he says, it's declared, Jehovah Jireh, the one that sees and provides. He is the one that does it. You know, we can say, men, we can say that it's because I have this job that we have the money to take care of the needs of our family. Well, true, but I want to tell you something. If we attribute something that belongs to God to ourselves, we fall short. I'll tell you what, it's not our work at work that brings our money. Who's the one that gives the money? I am, and that is God. Don't forget that. In fact, this Thanksgiving season, let's remember that everything that we have has been given to us by God. He provides everything. God is our protection and our banner. He is the one, you know, when you're close to getting in that accident and your life was spared and you were saved, guess who is responsible? Your quick reactions? The coffee that you drank that morning to keep you awake? No, it is God. I am. I am. That's where the name I am comes from. Now, when we get into the New Testament, Jesus, kind of interestingly, Jesus is claiming to be God. The Jews and who he's talking about, especially those disciples, they would know when Jesus stepped out to those people and said, I am, that would ring bells in their mind. This is, wait. Jesus is saying, I am. I am. And so we're going through the I ams of Jesus. Yes, his claim of being God himself. But more importantly to us, I say more importantly, aside from that, Jesus is saying, I am the one that will do this for you. All right, last week we looked at I am the bread of life. The bread of life. I am everything that you need. Very specifically, we're going to see another I am this morning in John chapter 10. And I want to look at the first 10 verses of John chapter 10. Here we have Jesus introducing himself as I am the door. Today we're thanking the Lord for his being the door. It's going to be Thanksgiving this week. We want to be thankful, and so we want to look at this in a very thankful way. Why are we thankful that Jesus is our door? You say, Pastor, that's an odd statement that Jesus claimed, I am the door. What did he mean, I am the door? Let's look at John chapter 10. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. You follow along. And by the way, this is not the only I am in this passage. In fact, he's going to introduce himself as I am the shepherd, which we're going to talk about a little bit closer to Christmas time. But I am the door. Let's look at John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Here Jesus is talking. If you had a red letter edition, you see that this is Jesus' words as he speaks. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and have pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Father, would you help me? It is my responsibility today to give truth. Father, it is your responsibility, or the Holy Spirit's responsibility, to convict us of truth. And God, then again, thirdly, it is our responsibility to accept truth. God, would you help us today that the truth would be given, convicted, and we would accept it. Lord, thank you that you, through Jesus Christ, are our door. So God, help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now this passage is a lot about shepherding. Shepherding. And I want you to think, and we'll talk more about being a shepherd at another time. But I want you to think about this, all right? Follow, because it's important that we understand the sheep and the shepherd. I think that during those times in these early years, especially in the Old Testament than the New Testament, the illustration of the sheep and the shepherd was far more, they understood it because there was a lot of shepherds, there were a lot of sheep. And so the people understood it. But let me help you to understand, in any probably given place on the plains of Judea, there were shepherds. It wasn't the greatest land for crop farming, although it was done. It wasn't as fertile as some of the lower plains. It wasn't as good as some of the areas that were well watered. But the plains of Judea was a place, it was rocky, there was sporadic grass. It was the best use of the land were for people in that area to be shepherds. Shepherds. Shepherds of sheep. Every city had a place, if I could say a pen, a place where the shepherds of the city would bring their sheep. Now there were two kinds of pens, if I could say, places where the sheep in the fold would be. There was the place that was the city pen, if you could put it that way, and there would be multiple shepherds in the area. And all those shepherds at time of night, of course, during the day would take their sheep out and pasture and be with them. But at nighttime, because the plains were a dangerous place to be, there were robbers out there, there were thieves, there were people that wanted to come and steal the sheep. There were what the Bible says wolves. I don't know exactly what the wolf was referred to, but there were certainly animals out there that would be dangerous. So people and animals dangerous to the sheep. And so for this first type, there was a pen outside the city or right close to the city that all the shepherds with their flocks would bring their sheep to this place. In a sense, it was kind of like a public sheep place, okay? Because there were different folds that were brought to this place, and each shepherd would take his sheep there. The shepherd would come, and he would let his sheep in. Did you notice that there was a porter in this city pen, okay? There was a porter. There was a doorkeeper. And that shepherd would come. He would talk to the porter. Here was his sheep. The porter would open up the gate. All of this shepherd's sheep would go in, and there would be safety there. And this place was some sort of a pen. There was a gate there, and then there was some sort of a wall around it that was probably earthen or stone, that was built up a small wall so that the sheep would maybe could not necessarily get out. But I don't think it was anything extravagant like the pens that we have today. It's probably some sort of a couple foot high stone or earthen pen that they had. And so all the shepherds would come and they would bring their sheep in there through the night. There would be protection. All the shepherds brought their sheep through the gate, through that door, and then they were protected. Now, we'll get to more of the significance a little bit later, but only the shepherds would bring their sheep through the door. If anybody else got in, it was the wrong way. It was the robber or the thief that would find some, if I could say, illegal way to get through and try to get those sheep. So they would come in there and they would stay there. They would be protective. The shepherds would be around. It probably was a good opportunity for those shepherds to rest as the porter was there. They were protected inside of the pen to get some rest because the life of a shepherd was a very difficult life. It wasn't easy. There was the cold times. There was the hot times. There was a time of not protection. There's not a ton of shepherding in Pennsylvania. Oh, there's some. We have sheep scattered around at different places. I grew up in Wyoming, and there's a lot more shepherding out there. Not a ton, but there is the life out there. There were shepherds around the ranch, the cattle ranch that I grew up in, and it was a barren land. But the shepherds would bring their sheep out there to graze, and they would take them to different places. I never admired the shepherds that were out there. They were a group of people, some of the big sheep ranchers that are out there hire different people from the Basque regions of Spain actually to come in and do that. And so they come from a long way to be shepherds and to live out there. But honestly, and I'm telling you the truth, and that still to this day, the shepherds out in Wyoming live through the times in a covered wagon. I know that you only associate a covered wagon with the old, old West. Well, Wyoming is still in the old, old West, okay, where I grew up. They still have covered wagons. The only difference with those wagons is they look kind of like the Conestoga covered wagons that you imagine, but when I say the shepherd, I'm talking about the Bass people, but it's the owner of the flock that is driving his big, 2022 truck, out there to move the wagon to and from. Yes, that's the way they do it. I don't understand those sheep ranchers, but they drive the big trucks, but they still have their guys out there in the covered wagon. Honestly, the covered wagon isn't much in itself, and it's not very big. I don't know what picture you get, from the old westerns that you watch, but they're very, very small. And usually there's a couple shepherds that live in there, and they move from place to place throughout the year all the time in these little places. They cook over a fire. They do everything like that. They don't have much. I remember as a youngster living there on the ranch, very rarely, but occasionally, one of these shepherds would come to knock on one of our doors, would come in, would walk over there or ride their horses. They did have horses that they would go and watch over the sheep. They would get on one of their horses and they would come into our ranch. They would come to the door and knock, and they would ask if one of two things. They could maybe use a telephone to call home, or they could at least give us their mail so that we could take it into the post office. Again, we were about 15 miles away from the nearest town and the post office. We had to go into the post office to get our mail. It wasn't delivered out to the ranch. And so when we would go in, they knew that, and they would come sometimes to give us an envelope of some sort to maybe mail back to their family. Maybe it was their paycheck. I don't know. But something so that we could go and mail it, and we would do that. We had of course, there was a language barrier, but we still kind of could figure out what we needed to do, and we did that for them. The life of the shepherd was not a fun thing, at least from my perspective. It didn't seem like a glamorous life to be out there with one or two more shepherds, sheepdogs, and all kinds of sheep, just all the time. Anyway, that's what they did. Certainly the times here, I can't tell you exactly what the shepherd's life was like, but it certainly wasn't a, I don't think, a necessarily exciting lifestyle. The shepherds would be tired, they would be hungry, they needed it. So anyway, they would bring these sheep to this fold, they would rest, and then in the morning they would gather the sheep. How did they do that? Well, as we just read, what they would do is they would have some sort of, maybe, I don't know if they had names, I don't know if Wooly was over there, and I don't know what kind of sheep, I'm being funny when I say that. I don't know what they did, but somehow we know that the shepherd had some sort of a call or a voice that the sheep would recognize the shepherd, and the sheep of that shepherd would come to that, and it's almost like in an organized way they would leave that pen and they would go out to pasture that day. So there is a little bit of what the sheep pen looked like near the city. Now there was a second type of pen that would have been when they're out. When they're out there, there was still another type of pen that the shepherds maybe would put up or would be a place where these sheep, even through the day, would have a place of protection. And that, in that case, they would come and maybe outside, out in the wilderness, the shepherd had maybe a place where they would take the sheep on the side of a hillside that was a little bit more grass, and they had set up some of these stone walls as well, and they would come. In this case, the porter wasn't there, it wasn't the community sheep place of the city. Many times, that shepherd would do his resting right there in the gap that was the door. He would lay down right there, and he would literally be that door for those sheep. It was just his sheep. There wasn't a big community. It was just his, and he would be that door to them. He would be there for several things. Now, that's the introduction of what I give you, just to keep in mind what they went through with their shepherding. Here Jesus now comes to them and says, he claims an interesting claim. He said, I am the door. So they're thinking about what I just tried to share with you probably times 100. They understand a whole lot better than my feeble attempt to just give you a rough thought of what a shepherd's life was. Okay, we still have no clue, but even just a little bit, think that way. And now Jesus comes to these people and says, I am the door. I am the door. What did he mean that I am the door? First of all, let's look in verses 1 and 2. Jesus is speaking and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you. By the way, in context, Jesus is really, he's really given a little bit of a discourse about the false shepherds that were there, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders that were trying to come in and impose themselves as true shepherds and true doors, if I could say, and the protectors of the people. And it was all of them, these Jewish leaders, and Jesus is stepping in and saying, no, these Jewish leaders are imposters. I'm the door, okay? And we're not going to get into the whole story behind this and the miracle that had taken place and Jesus and the Pharisees. That's not for this morning, but in context, that's what Jesus is dealing with. Okay, so back to this. Jesus says in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, and by the way, this would be more of the city sheepfold that we're talking about here, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Have you ever tried to get into something and you couldn't find the door? For illustration, I was trying to think of trying to get into something that I couldn't find a door. And I couldn't come up with anything by way of door, but I thought through those little metal puzzles that some people put kind of by a, you know, maybe next to a couch or something where people come. Maybe it'd be in a lobby somewhere, in a reception, you know, at an office space. And there's you ever seen those metal things that go together? And you sit down and you see, boy, that looks interesting. And you know that you've got to try to pull apart these two pieces. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And I enjoy getting, they frustrate me a little bit because I sit there and I work and I work and I work and I'm not quite sure if my patience is there to get it. But I know that my family has had some. I remember when we used to go to the cabin, there were some there, and we would work at those things and work, and you try, and my method was just to get them and just try to pull them apart, okay? That was just my method. It didn't always work that way, and I knew that that really wasn't the door. Now, I would work and work and work, and then you see some smart aleck kind of a person that walks over, and you know when they walked over with a smile and they said, here, let me try it. You knew that they had discovered and what I'm referring to as the door. You see, in any one of those puzzles, there is some sort of, if I could loosely say, a door, right? There's a certain way in which something very simply, and that, you know, that person comes over and all they do is kind of do one of these quick little things, and you're like, how did you do that? And then you take it back and you work and work and work and do it again. And you're watching everything that they do, and they just kind of, okay, come on. And you work at it, and it's frustrating. And what we're looking for is a door. Have you ever, you know what I'm talking about? You feel like, where's the answer to this thing? I'm looking for the door. It's Thanksgiving time. I want to tell you something. That life sometimes feels and seems like a puzzle, one of these metal puzzles or these brain teasers that you know that there is one. You know there's an answer. But it's very difficult to find that door. But you know there is one. Before we get into this door, and I know we're running out of time, I want you to just be aware and be thankful, number one, first of all, that there is a door. Do you know how frustrating it would be to sit there and work on it for hours and hours and hours and try to get this puzzle solved, and then in the end, the person who bought it, made it, or whatever like that came to you and said, I was just pulling your chain. There is no answer to this. Can you imagine what that would be like? That would be rough. There's no answer to this. I've been sitting here trying to get this thing apart and you can't do it. I would claim that some of them don't seem to have a door, but there is, because I've seen people open them up and they do those. Folks, can I tell you this morning, we need to be thankful that there is a door. There is a door. First of all, there is a doorway. There is a way that we get in. And of course, we're going to talk about salvation, but thankful that there is a way of salvation. I want to tell you, there are a lot of confused people out there, whether they believe there's a door or not, that are so confused. And God has opened us. He's given Himself. He's given His truth. And there is a doorway so that we can get to heaven. Can you imagine if we tried and tried and tried? And by the way, mankind is geared to work His way towards some sort of eternal life. God has put it in our hearts that we work towards it, but knowing that in the end there was no door to get there. And I believe that some people in life end up just giving up because they say, listen, I don't even believe there is a door. I don't believe there is anything. I'm just going to choose to believe that life is what it is, and in the end, it's going to be done. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's not Bible, and there is a doorway to that eternal life. There is a doorway. You know, this Thanksgiving, I think we ought to go before the Lord and we should be thankful. God, thank you for providing a door for me to get to heaven. A door, a pathway, a way that I can get, a way that I can get there without my way. I'll tell you, that is truth. But there are a lot of people today that are denying the truth and they're saying, listen, it's this way. Did you notice that there were thieves and robbers that broke in and in the way that wasn't the truth? They tried to get in. There was imposters that tried to share another rendition, but there is a truthful way. Now, we'll get into more of this later. I just want to leave it there. And the first point is we need to be thankful that there is a way. We need to be thankful that there is a way that is not up to us, that it was up to God. There is a way. There is a way. The doorway represents free opportunity. Do you realize that there is free opportunity for us to go through the door to enter heaven? Free opportunity. Every one of us has that opportunity. Are you thankful for that opportunity? I praise the Lord that I had parents that showed me that opportunity. And as a young child at the age of 4, opening up their Bibles and showing me in devotions how I could know to go through that doorway, how to go through. It's a very simple way. And they shared with that way with me. And I remember that evening in family devotions, bowing down with my mother that night, and trusting Jesus Christ and going through that doorway. I praise the Lord for a time when it opened up and said, you know what? I don't have to depend on myself. I have a way to get to heaven. And His name was Jesus. And He says, I am the door. We thank the Lord for that opportunity. But there's a second thing that we need to be thankful for, and that is thankful. Drop down to verses 7, 8, and 9. Here there's a couple claims that not only is there a door, we see in the first couple verses, he just says, he that entereth not by the doorway, but he doesn't yet equate that with himself. He just says there's a doorway. That's all we know in verses 1 and 2. But then we get down, and we go down a little bit, and we get to verses 7, 8, and 9. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you. And here he's going to be more specific. He said, it's not that there's just a doorway. He says, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. You see, he's saying they all came in a different way. They didn't come through a door. They did it their own way. They went. They broke all the rules, and they did it in a legal way. They came in and did it that way. But I am the door. Anybody else was a robber. But the sheep did not hear them. And then he says again, second time, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here he's talking to them, and we're going to get more specific on what he's the door for. What is he the door for? And we're thankful that Jesus is that door, that he was the exact way. He's the answer. Here's a couple things that we are thankful for. Jesus here represented as the door in the sheep, in the illustration of the shepherd and the sheep and the fold. Here we see, and by the way, in verses 7 and 10, this is a little bit more kind of like the fold that's out there in the wilderness now. You know, they heard his voice and they left in the morning and they went out into the field and they're there and they're grazing and there's a protection place out there. And now Jesus is saying, I am the door. I'm the literal door that's protecting the sheep. But there's a couple things that I want you to see that he introduces here. First of all, for salvation. Notice that he talked about being saved. Now let's think in general. A shepherd, what is he saving his sheep from? Well, we already talked about some of those. We'll talk about the wild animals, right? That shepherd was there for protection with the wild animals. There was robbers that came in. Maybe they wanted the wool, and they wanted to get that and to sell that. Maybe there was the oils and the lanolin that was in the wool so that they could get that and sell that. There was going to be some profit if they could get a hold of some of these sheep. And that shepherd was there to be that door. That door was there for, if I could say, salvation. That door was there for deliverance. That's what doors, I want you to think of a door in itself. There's several significances of doors. There's some doors there in the back, a few doors. What is the significance of a door? Jesus said, I am the door. Well, a door in one way is there for deliverance. Let me give you another story. I forget who I tell my stories to, but I remember when I was at college and went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College there in Wisconsin, and I was there and I went in. They had different activities for the student body from time to time. One time they rented out an ice or a roller skating rink. And I'll just stop and tell you, some of you, you know, maybe when you were younger, you went roller skating and all this. I never went roller skating before this activity. I went to this activity. I never did roller skating. I had done ice skating a couple times, but that wasn't my deal, okay? Football player, weightlifter, whatever, all the different things I did. Putting me on skates, I don't care what kind of skates, is a bad situation. I remember every once in a while going with the family at a roller skating rink and strapping these funny boots on me and trying to get out there on the ice. And if you would have saw me skating, it was one of these kind of things. You know, but I worked up, being an athlete, I worked up to where I could actually slide, you know, on the skates, and I would get going. And I would go around and around and around. Finally, your ankles are hurting so bad. Your shins are hurting so bad. You've got, you know, you're just, your back is hurting so bad. I know some of you know how to do it. I didn't. But that was me. You know, I mean, I'm just going. And there would be an opening off of the rink. This is the rink that I went. I'm not talking about some of you went to outside stuff. But the rink that I went in, there was a doorway. And I would eye up that doorway. And I would just, okay, I got to get out of here. and I'm just going and going. The neat thing was, is I could skate and I could slide, and there was this rubber matting outside the rink that you could go and you could slide and you could just kind of hop off, and when you hopped off, you'd stop because it was rubber, okay? Because the skates don't slide on rubber. I was used to doing that, although I did not go skating very often, but what skating experience, that's what I did. So now I'm in forward, I'm in college, and I'm roller skating, worst mistake ever, and I'm going around. You know what, ice skating, you just go wherever you want to. You just kind of go here and go there. Mostly for me, it was on the outside because I got the wall there, and I would go around and around. But here we are in this college situation, I'm going around, and this case, you know, they rented the whole place, they got their own music, we're going around, but there was this weird thing, they were all just like going around like this and this, they just kept going, and I was getting lost, they're flying by me, I was like, I came to the wrong activity, this is not for me, and I was there one time, and I'm rolling along there, and I spotted the same door. Whew. There's the door. I'm done with this thing. My back's hurting. My ankles are hurting. My shins are hurting. There was a doorway, and I couldn't wait. I needed deliverance. And I'm going, and I saw that door there. And remember, I'm used to the ice skating situation. And I'm cruising along because they just kept going faster and faster and faster, you know, as they go around. They're just... Whew. So I'm actually at a fairly decent speed at this point in time, and I'm roller skating, and there was the door, and I went and I jumped off of that thing expecting to stop. But it didn't matter what the surface was. On roller skates, you're going to keep rolling. Guess what I did? I jumped out of that rink, thought I was delivered, and I went out of that door and I kept rolling. Guess what was right in front of me? The ladies' bathroom. That's what happened. I jump out of there, and I didn't stop, and whoa! And that's exactly what I did. I ran right into that door of that ladies' bathroom. Fortunate enough for me, I cannot remember anything of what happened at that point in time, but I remembered, oh, I think that was the last I ever roller skated, and I guess what? I don't have any plans of ever roller skating again. All right, I tell a funny story. But I want to tell you something. In my mind, there was a place for deliverance. There was a place that was represented by a door that I knew that I needed to get out to escape the rat race of what I was in that day. I needed to get out. Folks, can I tell you something? That more than deliverance from a roller skating rink, we need deliverance from the life that we are in, the life of sin and wickedness. And there's a door that promises to escape us from it. As Christians, we ought to be thankful for that door. But I want to tell you, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you know that there's a door of deliverance from the lifestyle that we have today. There's a deliverance from eternal death. There's deliverance from the world. There's deliverance from our own flesh. There's deliverance. And God has given that to us, and we can be thankful for that salvation, that deliverance from those things. There are people in here today that are suffering from different things, and you struggle, and maybe there's guilt, and maybe there's sin, maybe there's physical things. Can I tell you that Jesus, the door, is the answer for deliverance? And anybody else that would claim deliverance is an imposter. There's robbers, there's thieves that promise that if you just do this and you follow these steps and if you read this book, if you will do this and go this way, that you'll have deliverance. And I want to tell you something, it always ends in failure. Jesus is the door. Remember, Jehovah, I am. He is the only one for deliverance. Oh, if people could hear, it is for salvation. Can I tell you, if you're here and you don't know if you're on your way to heaven, I want to tell you, Jesus is the only way to escape hell and hellfire and to go to heaven and live with God forever. It's the only way. But people don't know, and they're so locked into their religion, they're so locked into their works, locked into the ways that they go, and it's going to be really discouraging when they jump out. Jesus is the door. But it's more than just for salvation. It's deliverance from everything else. Sir, ma'am, I don't know what you're going through here today. Maybe you're a Christian. You've been delivered from that sin. But maybe there's a lot of discouragement and you don't know the way out. Can I tell you that the answer is Jesus? Because He is the door. He's the door for salvation, deliverance. He's the door of, well, let's look at what else. A door is good for deliverance, right? I'm free from this whatever I'm in. But a door is also good for protection. I want you to think of the times that there have been a door there that was keeping what was out from getting in. I had some stories to tell, but I thought better because I didn't want anything to be scary. But I'll tell you what, there can be some scary stories that are outside of the door. And praise the Lord that that door was there. But I'll tell you a little bit more of a mild story. As a youngster, I would be scared of this. I grew up on a cattle ranch, and there were animals that you dealt with that were gentle and friendly. There were animals that weren't so gentle and friendly. Some of which to speak of were some bulls that were pretty wild-mannered, and maybe some cows that were wild-mannered. I'm not going to get into the specifics, but I'll tell you, there were times when I was so grateful. The only thing that separated me from that other animal usually was a door or a gate. And they would come at it, they would kick at it, they would hit it, they would do all this stuff, but I was thankful for the gate. I was thankful for that door. As soon as I opened up that door, I was vulnerable to that bull. I was in the way of that mad cow or whatever it was. I was there. That gate was a protection for me. I knew that on the other side was danger. On this side of that door, there was protection. This shepherd in these times would lay there, and he was the protection for these sheep. Can I tell you what? Not only for deliverance, but a door, and the door of Jesus is good for our protection. As humans, we look to so many things to protect us. You may look at a physical door to protect you. You may look at a gun to protect you. You may look at a person to protect you. We look for all kinds of things to protect us. A bank, money in this place, and a safe place for this, a deposit box. But my friend, can I tell you that in the issues of life, Jesus is the door. He's your safety. He's your protection. He's the one that's going to keep you from the outside. Nothing else that we put in our lives is going to work except for Jesus. But I want to tell you something this morning. We can be thankful for Jesus, that He's our protection. He is there laying down His life for His sheep, saying, listen, not only have I come to deliver you, but I have come to protect you. Are you thankful this morning for His protection? Jesus said, I am the door. Thirdly, doors are useful for what they lead into sometimes. Now, if it's a bull on the other side, you don't want to open the door. But sometimes a door represents something nice on the other side. Now, I don't get into what's going to happen this Friday. Black Friday stuff. We did it one time. And as far as I know, that might have been the last time. Some of you, you know, that's your deal. You're going to get out on Friday and get good deals. That's fine. What does the door represent on Friday? You think about that. They're lining up at the door, right? Doorways not only are there for deliverance, like a skating rink. Doors sometimes are good for protection, like with the bull. Sometimes doors represents an entryway to blessing. Something's good on the other side of that. There's deals that we can't pass up, and people line up and go crazy early, late Thursday night, early Friday morning to go through the door because the door represents something tremendous. Do you know that Jesus is the door? Sometimes we look to so many other things as the entryway to our happiness. So many people look at, if I could only be this, if I could only go there, if I could only have this, if I could only be engaged with this, if I could only be with those people, if I could only, and Jesus is saying, listen, all others are counterfeit. I am the door to blessing. If Christians could get a hold of that, it would keep us from wandering in and out, saying, listen, here is where it is. And Jesus said, I am the door. Christian, would we understand that Jesus is our door? We don't need anything else. We trick ourselves into thinking, I got to buy this. I got to get this. I got to have this. I've got to be with. I've got to do this. And I've got to work for this. I got to gain this. And I'll tell you, I struggle with it myself. We get caught up in our worldly thinking, and we put so much effort in it. And there Jesus is with Thomas, and he's standing there, and he has nothing else to offer. But he says, Thomas, the answer's within me. Christians is the shepherd and is the door. Jesus is there as the door saying, listen, you think that life is going to be so much better by having this, doing this, and being out on your own. You know what happened to the sheep when they got out on their own? No, I don't think sheep thought to themselves, I'm thankful for the door. In fact, I know they don't think that because every time they have an opportunity to get out, they will. They think that there's so much out there to offer. The shepherd has to go and say, no, the safest place that you have, the best place of blessing, the door to blessing is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus said in a very unique way, I am the door. We need to be careful. You notice in verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Folks, listen to this. Anything other than Jesus, you can trick yourself into thinking that there's more. Anything other than Jesus is counterfeit. Anything other than Jesus will leave you destroyed. See, thieves will assure you of salvation in other ways, but it's counterfeit. Thieves will come and assure you of protection in other ways, but it's counterfeit. Thieves and robbers will come in and tell you that they are the answer to provisions, but he is the answer to provisions and abundant life. And Jesus said, I am the door. Father, I thank you for the word of truth that you have given today. Father, I have done my best to give the truth to these people in your word. God, now we're trusting upon the Holy Spirit to do his work and convict us, show us in our areas how maybe we have been going against who Jesus is. God, I pray that today we would be thankful. It's Thanksgiving season. Help us to be thankful for the door. God, thank you. Lord, it is our responsibility to respond to that truth. God, help us this morning. Help us to trust Jesus as the door. For it's in Jesus' name that we can even pray these things. Amen.